Hey guys, welcome to the Martial and Healing Arts channel. I'm Rafe Kelly, founder of Evolve Move Play. I'm extremely excited to be sponsoring this channel. Martial and Healing Arts have been key aspects of embodiment and self-cultivation for thousands of years. I have some of my best friends in the industry, Rory Miller, Matt Thornton, Edward Hines, presenting here, and I'm really excited to share what they have to say with you guys. You're gonna love it. So Evolve Move Play is an ecology of practices of movement, mindfulness, nature connection, and community. And within the movement, we have a big emphasis on moving in nature and being able to do parkour. We also like to lift weights and throw things around, but there's a huge aspect of martial arts, and I've been training martial arts since I was 6 years old. So it's really exciting to be able to sponsor this channel in particular. If you're interested in my work, check out my talks on the Main Stage and the Movement Anatomy channel. If you can't get to either of those live, you can check us out at Rafe Kelly on Instagram, get all your awesome embodiment giveaways, and for now, just enjoy this amazing channel. It's gonna be an awesome show.
So I'm going to just jump in because even though 50 minutes sounds like a lot of time, actually what I want to share with you is going to take a fair bit of time. So I'm really pleased that you've all been able to join me here today. And I hope you're going to enjoy what I've got to say. So I will just throw myself straight into the first part, which is really about my background, because obviously if I started to talk to you just about the things that I see and how I shift energy and change energy, you may have some questions about how did I get to that place and how was it possible for me to be able to do those things. So you need a little bit of context about the events that took place in my life that actually forced me really into the work that I do today. I'm not saying I don't enjoy it, but it was definitely not something that I was pursuing. It's what happened. So like many of us probably, I was quite ill as a child, and certainly I used illness as a way in which I expressed my issues, expressed the things that were happening to me. My trauma came out through illness rather than through other forms of expressing myself. So by the time I got to 24, I'd already had quite a lot of difficult illnesses that had never really been fully resolved. And I was a student at university, as a mature student at university, and I'd come home for my Christmas holidays and I was writing my Christmas cards. And it was just as if the world shut down for me. I just went into darkness. I couldn't see anything anymore. I couldn't write anything anymore. Everything just sort of froze. And luckily for me, I was with my husband, who is now, and he supported me, took me to a darkened room, which was where I stayed for basically the whole of the 18 months. So for me, what happened was I had meningitis, but the symptoms of meningitis didn't go away. So I ended up still with light sensitivity and movement sensitivity, which of course forced me back into staying in the darkness, which was comfortable for me. So there's a lot I can say about meningitis, about the pain and the darkness and everything, but what I really want to share with you is my journey out of meningitis and how that was the first step, the first time that I really started to understand the universe and our own personal ability and power to harness that. So I'd studied, as was said earlier, I studied a lot of martial arts, and the only bit of meditation I'd actually done was at the beginning, at the end of a class, we used to sit and have meditation. And then sometimes we'd have a weekend training session, and our sensei, our teacher, would put us facing the wall for an hour meditating, which I was not very good at because I was good at all the martial artsy bits, but I wasn't that good at just sitting still. So that was my experience of meditation. But here I was in a darkened room at 24. You know, obviously I was pursuing a degree and I had things I wanted to get on with in my life. So I was really confused, you know, it's a lot of time staring at the walls. How am I going to get myself out of here? Obviously it was the primary question in my head. And eventually meditation came to me. It was the only thing really that I could see that may be able to get a sort of slight inkling towards finding the solution to this problem. And through months, I mean, obviously we're talking 18 months, so none of this happened just overnight. It wasn't as if I had a solution. It was very much trial and error and forcing my way into every day sitting. And eventually one day, literally out of the darkness, I stepped, myself as a child at about the age of 8, I stepped out of the darkness. I was grey, my head was down, and as I am as a person, very determined and committed, this child was very determined and committed that it was not looking at me. and it wasn't going to reintegrate with me, and it wasn't having any conversation with me at all. And it was a very clear thing that I recognized in myself, which was that if I couldn't love this child till eventually it couldn't resist coming back to me, then I wasn't likely to get well again. Because this was obviously a key moment in my life where I had actually started this change. And whatever it was that had happened, I'd become frozen in that time. And it happens to people, and I want you to think about this all the way through this talk. I want you to reflect on things that might have happened for you. And this is something I often see in treatments with patients, is that there may be a moment in your life that you've kind of got frozen in, and the rest of you has continued moving forward, but this part's still over here. And without the two parts integrated, actually health and flow is difficult. And I've witnessed, very fortunately for myself, me as this child at 8. So I knew that I had this task of loving this child. And that is literally just the thing that you would do with a child if they were in the room with you. You know, it's got to be a consistent love. It's got to be full on. And it's got to be something that melts the heart of this child. So over many months, I achieved that. I actually started to get the child in. But the way in which I loved myself was something that I think is important to share, which is that I've read and, you know, heard people speak about loving themselves and using affirmations, which is all a fantastic thing to do. But for me personally, I was ill and I had things I needed to do, and I needed to actually make this shift the cells in my body. So when I talk about loving myself, it's like taking a mirror right in front of my face and loving myself, telling myself that I love myself, until I bring tears to myself because I feel so much love and passion, and the feeling of it is overwhelming for me to experience that love. And I think that's really important for people to actually embrace, because that's the moment when your cells start to wake up and go, whoa, actually something's happening here. Something's really moving me, really sort of melting the ice, really. So the loving myself is another big factor. And then the next part is my cells. So again, after months of meditating, one day I sat down as always to meditate, and I just settled into my body. And today I saw cells. So obviously we're full of cells, but normally I didn't see cells. I didn't see the body of cells inside of my body. But this day I did. And this day I saw actually why I was ill and how I was ill. So I'm going to just share with you, hopefully you can see well on this board, but I'm just going to give you some really basic little pictures of what happens. So if you've got the body, and I'm not good at doing little pictures, but here's the body. And obviously within that, you've got the normal cells. What I was looking at when I looked into my body was that there were patches of my body which were actually had gone hard, disconnected, and these cells were no longer flowing with the rest of the body. So for the body to be healthy and well, what it needs is there's this incredible fluid intelligence. You know, it's like everything is flowing from heaven to earth and earth to heaven. And that fluidity and all of the cells communicating with each other is what keeps you well and keeps everything actually harmonizing. So it's a constant river of information that's flowing through your cells. As soon as you start to have pockets of cells that have decided that they're going to be grumpy cells, and they're not going to talk to all the rest of the cells, and they're just going to freeze into their own little locked in color and way, then everything starts to fall apart and you start to find that you get ill. And so I saw this in myself and realized that, again, a bit like the little girl who I need to defreeze from her stubbornness, I had to get these cells back on time, online with me. And the way that I actually did that is because meningitis is really about the brain and this pressing down on the brain. It's like dried up bacon instead of soft, fluid, lubricated meninges around the brain and the spine. It just crushes in on the brain. And that's where the fear of brain damage comes, is that this tissue scars the brain. So for me, there was a, what do I do? You know, for me, it's always practical. I've got to think about what I feel works for me. So I had this image of dried up little cells. So they needed to be lubricated. So the simple thing for me was, you know, just to think of a little water pillule, fill it with pure water and drop it onto your cells and see all the cells going, just sort of opening up, rehydrating, becoming happy cells. So apart from this picture, which is obviously all about those little lumpy bits, so this isn't brilliant, but it was a good pen because you could see it. I also started to realize that the cells actually have to be happy cells. And they also have to hold hands because they have to, like I say, communicate with each other. And so the simple thing is, you know, it's focusing on making these, how am I going to make these cells happy? So I'd have my cells sunbathing in hot baths. I'd think of anything really that made me feel as if my cells actually started to feel engaged again. Yeah. So that was the first step, is I see the cells inside myself. And this is the final step because I've got lots to say and I need to get through it all, which is that, so here's me, I have to do stick people. And obviously inside of me are all my cells. And then one day again, meditating, I suddenly see this ocean of cells on the outside of me, which is flowing through me. So it's like seeing an ocean of sparkles. So instead of myself just as this, you know, this, the body that I normally would focus on, I'm suddenly seeing that actually I'm connected to all of these cells that are also this massive ocean that infinitely, you know, flowing everywhere, is a part of me and I'm a part of it. And the thing that was apparent to me was that these cells were perfect on the outside and they were all happy and floating around. But on the inside of me, as they stepped over this boundary of my skin, they made the same choice. And there were some of that would come these grumpy little cells that would actually start to make me feel unwell. So there was a first, that is the first step to me actually beginning to understand this universal oneness, beginning to experience myself as an individual, but this connection that I have to everything else. And through harnessing all of those things that I spoke about and spending 18 months in the darkened room, I found my way through the illness and out the other side of it. So that's kind of, if you like, step one in terms of what I did to embrace, shall we say, this oneness. And step two, I'm going to shorten because I think it could take up a lot of time. But it basically, step two was a prophetic dream. It's the best word I can come up with. So, you know, it was a dream about two whales and two whales coming together. And out of that came my wisdom. And so strange as this all might sound, but it was as if this whale was sitting on the bottom of the ocean, full of these eggs of light that were my wisdom. And even though that might sound wonderful and people might think, oh, that's great, let's go for enlightenment, let's get those eggs. But actually the reality of that was very scary and very confusing for me, because one thing I certainly knew was that when I did decide to take that on, my life was going to change. And I valued my life as a person who enjoys just everyday experience of people and all the joys of life. And I didn't really want to turn into somebody who had a different view. But over, again, months of this and it being very challenging for me, and my husband was talking to me about it the other day, saying, you know, it was constantly at you. I eventually decided, he actually came up with a really good idea, which was to take one of these eggs in this whale's body and let that see what happened. But it didn't work like that. Basically, the short of it was that the whole lot went whoop, and I turned into what you might call a light being. You know, whatever that means to people, but that's what it was. It's like becoming a little blob of light. Again, a very confusing thing, because all of these shifts are things that you're not ready for, you don't understand, and you're not sure what to do with. So I felt quite isolated in that and confused as to what to do. But, you know, moving along, what happened eventually was that I literally one day, it was as if I just sort of shot up and I became what feels like being the night sky. So it's like being everything and nothing all at the same time. So you lose a sense of this physical body that's actually separating you from things, and you start to feel the complete ocean as being who you are. And I had a very strange thought, which was, okay, I want to feel Russia. Why do I want to feel Russia? I don't know. But what I recognized was that I can't feel Russia as a separate thing of myself. I can feel Russia as a part of my own body. And that was a really significant point. And this is another moment where I started to recognize and embody this experience of oneness, and the fact that actually I like to see you as separate from me, but the reality is I know you as being a part of me. And that allowed me to make the bridge between what I can do now, which is look at people's energy, really, because what I'm looking at is something that is also a part of myself. So that's step two in how I embodied the work that I do. And step three comes out of that. So even though I managed to understand this oneness, it actually became very challenging for me. Because if you start to experience your life seeing the fact that you're a part of everything all of the time, that's a very confusing place to be, because you don't operate in this sort of rational experience of separation. I just became confused. And so what my confusion led to, now you might think this is a bit of a strange place to end up, but I couldn't work out how I could get the whole of the universe inside of my body. And that's what I felt I needed to do. It was like an either or situation, everything on the outside or everything on the inside. So what I decided to do was that I decided to die. And that's why this title is called what it is. And I decided to die because I thought that was the way in which I would complete this oneness. And that it was better for me to die and reconnect with that ocean than to be constantly challenged by how to deal with this. And surprisingly enough, I did a good job. I'd actually managed to do it. I managed to actually collapse on the bathroom floor, and what happened to be, according to the ambulance man, having a major heart attack. And everything was going on, and I was succeeding in what I set out to succeed in. And my hand was literally on the wall of the bathroom. And I was lying there, my husband's an acupuncturist, he was sticking needles in me, you know, Lizzie, no funny business. And I could hear him talking and the ambulance man saying, this could be it now, she could be going. And as my hand went blue and I started to see myself leave my own body, I had this absolute wisdom of a moment, which was that it was like looking at a great big jigsaw puzzle, which was the whole of the universe. And then it was as if I was just taking out a piece of the jigsaw puzzle and making what was complete incomplete. And so as that happened and I saw myself leaving my body, I suddenly realized that the error of my ways is that if you are everything and nothing, then you are also this body, and you need to stay with the body and learn how to actually connect to everything and nothing all at the same time. And that was my challenge. So I lay on the bathroom floor, and literally the words to myself was, I love you, Lizzie, I love you. And I just called myself back in, and it all went, and it was a little bit of an alarming moment for the ambulance man and everything. And I still ended up in hospital with all these concerns and bits of machinery all over me. But I got the message, shall we say. So those are the three things, basically, which really embodied me into this experience of being a part of the universe and working with the universe, but also recognizing that you have to maintain the consciousness of yourself in all of this. And I think where I had made a mistake was, it was almost like there's this amazing universe and I need to actually sort of stop breathing and enter into the body of the universe, because that's going to be the perfect answer. But actually, for me personally, that is not the perfect answer. For me personally, the perfect answer is you need to harness this experience of the universe in through your body and share that in your daily life. And the way that I actually did that was an amazing little secret, which really was that the universe and you are the same. It's not that you need the universal wisdom, and that's the most important bit. It also wants what you have to share. So in every out-breath for myself, I'm sharing with the universe what I'm experiencing in this moment. And every in-breath, it's sharing with me, and then I'm sharing out. So what I'm doing is that we're both sharing equally, and I'm in the center of that, just breathing. But I'm experiencing everything that I can. That's how I can draw looking at your energy or any other energy, because I'm in the center of that, just breathing. So that may seem like a very little thing, probably for most people, but for me, that was a bit of a life-saving moment. So, okay, so that's that bit over with. And I want to swiftly move on to talking to you about how I see energy and how I interpret energy and some case studies. And I've tried to put this together so that sort of each little bit of energy, there's loads I could talk about, but I've had to just start with a structure of energy. And then I've tried to share with you some case studies that connect to what it is that I'm talking about. So I've got a few notes here just in case I just start digressing off into lots of other things that I might want to say. So I'm going to start with the very beginning, which is for me, looking at your energy. I do that when I'm looking in I sit in meditation and I look at your energy. Lots of things come up. These are just the basic foundations and structures of energy that I'm going to share with you now. But every person's energy is different. And every time I sit to look, a different story appears in front of me. So, but within the realms of what I'm going to say now. So for me, looking at someone's energy, the very first thing that happens, or the very first element, I should say, not necessarily the very first thing that happens when I see it, but the first element is what I call the golden column. So this is a straight line. And this golden column is exactly like the axes to the earth. If we didn't have the axes to the earth, then obviously gravity wouldn't pull all of the particles of the earth together. And you wouldn't end up with the forming of the world, because the mass wouldn't come together. So this golden column is exactly like that. It's like the midline in the body, which draws together all the parts and is the sort of foundation of everything else hanging off that center line. And inside this golden column is, it's like heaven speaking to earth and earth replying to heaven. It's a caduceus. And that is very specific to you. So that really holds the whispers of heaven and earth that are talking just about who you are, what you've come to bring, what your gifts are. So this golden column is the first moment. So when conception takes place, it's like a signal goes out to heaven and earth that says something is happening here, and it calls in the creative forces. And there stands the midline of the person. So with the midline, I'm going to give you a few little case studies. And if you can't see any of this screen, maybe stick your hand up, because I've tried to make sure that you can see it. Okay. I think the bit that you can't see is over here. Okay. Okay. So if we take somebody with a normal golden column, yeah, that's a healthy situation. But what can happen to people, and it can happen for a number of reasons, a drug shock or a shock to the body, somebody's axis can actually get thrown off sideways. And the people that have come to see me with that, quite a number of them will have had electric shock treatment, where literally they've lost themselves. They're now connecting to something here and something here, but this isn't familiar. This isn't connected to themselves anymore. And they become quite psychotic, quite confused. And, you know, in many ways, I see why what the doctor's trying to do is shock them back onto alignment, really. So what I do that obviously is get the person connected to it, and you need to bring them back into alignment with themselves. You need to shift that column back into place. So that's one example of how the golden column can really affect you if you don't keep that central to your body. Another thing that happens is that I work with businesses, and there are certain businesses, especially some of the big business consultants, that have partnership panels. PricewaterhouseCoopers is an example. And I've worked a lot with some of those people. And people get asked to present, you know, to become a partner, the big step up in their career. And they get very worried about how on earth are they going to sit in front of this panel and be successful, and what do they need to say. And they can get distracted and start to look at the people around them that they think have the answer, that are successful, that have something. And that's true in people's personal lives too. You can relate to someone who you think is a happy person or has something that you need in your life. And some people make a really very clear connection. So this person's here, maybe, with their own experience of their energy. And this person's decided that they're lacking something and they need something that this person has. And so they can literally start to bring their golden column down, which is, this is the real core of who you are, and start anchoring it through somebody else.
Lizzie, I'm sorry to disturb you, but the right, for us, the right picture is not visible.
Yeah, that's what, okay.
Yeah, that's a little better.
It's a little better, not great, yeah. Is it?
No, it's just not totally in screen, but
okay, I have to make it
keeps getting better.
It's a bit smaller, I think.
Keeps getting better.
That's the key.
Just want to get everything you tell us.
Yeah, sure. So what we're saying is that, is that better? They're closer together. This person is anchoring their energy through the other person. And lots of things, as you can appreciate, become confusing in that. Both of them become confused because they're now sort of sharing energy inappropriately. And the person that's sharing and the person that's polluting the other one's energy, they, you know, they both become uncomfortable. That's a bit of a long story, and lots of things can happen as a result of that. But I just want to share how people can get distracted, if you like, and think that leaving themselves and going on to someone else's energy frame is going to be positive, which isn't. Oh dear, right, okay, where are they going? And then one final thing with this is a patient of mine. So just to share a patient, I think that's in a good place. So this guy came to me who, very successful executive again, but crippled, literally crippled physically on his, in his legs, and was giving up his work as an executive accountant. And I looked at his energy, and in someone's energy, you can see, you know, we talk about chakras, people talk about auras, but actually there are layers and layers of energy that come, that connect you to being in the universe. But the golden column is the midline to all of that. And this guy's particular situation, and I won't go into all the details about this, it was like having a great big slab stone here on his golden column. Nothing to do with the physical body. If somebody had felt his body as a bodywork person, you know, a chiropractor, whatever, they would have felt nothing in the body. But having this physically blocking your golden column means that eventually it is going to either mentally, physically, or emotionally affect you. And so when I took that out, everything just transformed and he was fine. So it's, I'm trying to share with you the fact that not everything comes from this moment. Things can come in other spaces and other dimensions of yourself. And those are the things that I'm often looking for. Because sometimes the people that come to me have tried a lot of other more orthodox things and they haven't worked so well. So there's the golden column. So the first layer of energy that I share. The second thing that is significant, I think that's okay, is the column of white light. So in each person, so you've got the golden column coming down through the middle. In each person, we have our own unique space. So, you know, this is probably going to be about an arm length away from you, but people do different things to their energy. They can draw it very close or push it far away, which changes some of the feelings. They might feel a bit claustrophobic or overwhelmed. But we're going to say that, can you see here? Yeah, you can see that one. This is your column of white light, yeah? So inside this column of white light, what this is here for is because, as I spoke to you earlier, actually, you are a part of everything. You have this ocean, just as I do, this ocean of sparkles, this ocean of energy flowing through you. And you're a part of that ocean totally. But equally, there is something that needs to allow you to exist and experience this human part of yourself. And this column of white light, which is like your little pool, allows you to be both a part of the ocean, but also in your own energetic space. And this energetic space is kind of your responsibility bit. So this tells me quite a lot in the terms of how a person's energy is and what's happening and how they are mentally feeling. And also, you know, things like, for instance, if this has got a lot of little flecks and dots in it, unfortunately, that can often be a precursor for me looking at that of cancer. So the quality, the fogginess, the colour, you know, all of those, the texture of it, everything can tell me a story, really. So this is one of the things that you would be looking for, that I might look for and say, yeah, the column of white light. is definitely telling me a story. The other thing within all of this, so if you're thinking about this column of white light, and I want to share with you a case study here, another case study, is that you really need this column of white light to be physically strong, because it has a protective element to it. It does two things for you. It gives you both as itself, it gives you a space to exist in, but it also allows you to feel a perspective on other things that are happening around you. It gives you a space to sense the vibration and the things that are happening outside of you and respond to those. So if, for instance, in this particular situation that I'm going to share with you now, a person doesn't have one half of that column of white light, then the protective layer that keeps you from experiencing all of these vibrations that are not actually your own become like a bombardment of energy constantly coming in and disturbing your energy field. So this particular patient is an interesting, and I'll just show you what happened. So see, one half of this column of white light was never present for her. And she was a business executive, and she was sent to me through Cranfield Business University from Germany. So she flew over to see me, and I looked at her energy before she came. And what I saw was her as a baby, not very good at drawing these things. So this is supposed to be an embryo. One side of the outer layer, that the protective layer, just like a nut having this protective layer, which formed as she was forming, literally as an embryo, did not form. So this half of the protective layer around the baby didn't form. So always in my work, what I'm looking for really is the seed. I'm looking for the moment of the beginning. It's not always the relevant thing to look for, but in a situation like this, that would come to me. It will always come to me what I need to see. So without that part of her being present, what happened is that it's like from that moment, you know, like Shrek says, I'm just an onion. It's layers and layers and layers. That means that this part of her does not form these layers and layers and layers of expression into the universe, and doesn't form all these layers and layers of protection. So even though she became an Olympic diver at 21, she's a very fit woman, she got cancer at the same age, 21. And she survived that. And here she was at 31 with the university sending her to me because cancer had come back again. And she was still a very fit woman, but confused as to why it was that she had cancer. So the reason that it's very clear to me why she had cancer, which was that because she had never formed this protective layer at the very beginning of her life as an embryo, that open space in her had just stepped into life with her. So it was like someone that you could sort of put your hand through almost. It was, and so energetically, all of the pollution of vibration that's on the outside of her was just impacting into her body. So she was embodying all of these different vibrations. And what happens with vibration is that the body can only take so much. That the body, you know, the cells are here together with the fluids flowing around them. But when things, the vibration of other things start to influence them too strongly, they start actually vibrating like this, and they start irritating against each other. And that's the moment when we begin to get dis-ease, and those cells can start to make changes in their form. And so that irritation for her that was constantly there was actually meaning that the vibration in her was no longer her own, and she wasn't flowing anymore. So we went into meditation and we formed. So this is another important thing to say, that time and space in my world doesn't really exist. You can go back to something that happens at this point in a person and you can recreate that, which means that that will change everything. So we created this line and we completed it. And it was a very interesting thing for me, because she had been diagnosed with cancer, and she went back to Germany, and she was having an operation 10 days later for the cancer. And they went in to do the pre-operation scan. And they said, but there's no more cancer anymore. There's no cancer. Where's the cancer gone? And basically what she, you know, we'd done the meditation, and if you change the seed, then the vibration pushes out through the body, through all those layers of yourself, and your signal is signaling something different to the universe now. And the universe will respond back with a different answer. And that rhythm, that flow of moving like that, just allowed the cancer to leave her. So even though that sounds slightly miraculous and all the rest of it, you know, which I suppose it kind of is, but it's possible. And it's just an interesting one because it was very marked by the fact that she obviously was somebody who was going to go and have cancer treatment. So I think I have about 20 minutes, less than 20 minutes. So I think I need to move fairly quickly. Is that right? That I have about 10 minutes left or?
Yeah, something like 10 minutes.
Okay, and so I'm going to...
You can do a few questions after that.
Yeah, sure. So I might just share with you one other thing in the context of this, which is a woman who came to me who I might not draw it, who had actually lost a baby. And what she did was when I looked at her energy, I thought this is a very scary picture because she's got half of her body stepped into death and half of her body in life. And her body's crumbling and decaying at this moment. And when her baby died, she followed her baby into death. And she could not leave that behind. She became obsessed by that. And sadly, unfortunately, she got re-pregnant and the next pregnancy. As she gave birth to the baby and then stood up, she collapsed and was riddled with terminal cancer. And I'm only sharing that with you because that is all about where you stand in your column of light. She wasn't standing in the middle of a column of light. She was standing between two worlds. And it can be a dangerous thing to do. So I just, a quick share there. So this one is going to be about heaven and earth. So, you know, a little bit like your logo that you have for the embodiment conference, really. In a simple way, you know, heaven descends to man and earth reflects heaven. So these two forces should be sort of equally proportioned within the body, and heaven and earth need to be flowing through you. You need to be grounded, connected to the earth, and equally connected to heaven. So this little story is quite a fun story because I work with lots of different people, and this particular person is an international famous opera singer. And I'd worked with him remotely because a lot of my work, and especially since COVID, it's even more so now, is remotely. So I've worked with him when he was in Italy and America and everything. But anyway, he came to sing at Glyndebourne, which is a local opera theatre near us. And he invited me, you know, gave me free tickets to come to work with him physically on something that was bothering him. And so I went along, and Glyndebourne is this very quaint, lovely little English thing that we do, which is we have half of the opera. And then we have a 2-hour picnic where we get out all our picnics in the garden and we have a nice little time, you know, in between that and the second half. So in that little time, I shot up to his little room, very grand, you know, changing area that he had. And we went into meditation because in the first half, I watched his energy to see what he was doing. And in the second half, I showed him what he needed to do differently. So what he was actually experiencing was the fact that he was this amazing singer, still is this amazing singer. But as he sung out his energy. So thinking about the heaven and earth, so here he is singing away. And the more he sings, although I'm watching him and thinking, oh no, is he's singing all of his energy out here and he's sucking it all out from the earth until eventually he's got nothing in the earth and everything in the heaven. So his legs literally would not work. I mean, that's why this was becoming quite a major problem for him, because there were scenes where he needs to, he was Figaro in this particular play that I'd gone to watch, opera I'd gone to watch. He's supposed to, you know, pick up his, you know, the woman, the lead of the show and take her off the stage. And of course his legs are just literally like, he walked up the stairs on all fours back to his changing room, up the stairs, he couldn't walk up them. So it was a big problem and it was affecting his voice. So basically it was showing him how to balance his energy, how to use his voice, but stay connected to the whole of him all of the time and allow all of these parts of his energy to flow together. I mean, of course, it's a, you know, I'm not going into that full story, but the very nice thing for him was that these top opera singers apparently have people who travel all over the world to watch them sing everything that they ever sing. And this guy came up to him at the end and he said, I've heard you sing Figaro, I've heard you sing all over the world. That was the best you've ever done. So it was a nice thing for him because he realized, yes, he managed to get on top of his energy and it translated into, you know, he always gave a good performance, but you know, in the eyes of this man, anyway, it was a great performance. So I'm going to move on to how specific my work has to be, because I think I know that there might be some questions, but I think I'll just see if I can quickly share the end of this. Just let me know when you think it's time for me to finish. But I briefly talked a little bit earlier about time and space and how that can influence. So in other words, trauma that we have in the past, we tend to think it's left in the past and may not be affecting the moment of now. But actually that really isn't the case. And for me in my work, it's not the case either that you can't reconnect with that. So I have done a number of situations and they're quite interesting around fertility. And one of them was about a woman who actually came to me who had been pregnant before, but could not get pregnant again. And what had actually happened was she had got pregnant, lost a child, but hadn't managed to let go of the trauma. And so physically what happened was, it was like a phantom pregnancy. So here's a womb. And for me, my work, that's why I'm sharing this, it's very specific. I can't go, yeah, I'm going to help you with infertility and we're just going to get it kind of right and everything. It's got to be, the texture has to be perfect, the colour has to be perfect, the amount of fluid in it has to be perfect. And her womb was still expanded as if she was pregnant, and everything about the texture and everything within her womb was just not giving you the signal that she was able to get pregnant again, because she still had the shadow of this baby inside of her. And letting go of the shadow meant that everything changed, and within 6 days she became pregnant. But it's just that sense of sort of time and space, you can't get away from it. You know, things have to be complete, they have to be done correctly in order for things to really change. But sometimes it's knowing what it is that you need to change. And another little one, I'm sorry, I know I'm bouncing around here, but I'm trying to fit it all in. just another experience of how if you don't let go of things and you don't sort of sort things out in your past, they can continue to affect you today. So I had a patient come to me and she'd seen so many great, great practitioners, and nobody could quite get on top of what was wrong with her. And when I looked at her energy, I thought, you know, what I see is this person who is still trapped as a child. And in fact, her experience had been that she'd lived in Africa, and her parents had come back to England because her mother was very unwell and died. And from that moment on, her life just descended into what she clearly thought was not happiness. And so she trapped herself in this moment, in this house in Africa, that was the moment when her life was perfect. And so here she was at 50, not managing to move forward with her life, because she spent every decision she made, she went back to herself as the child standing in this house in Africa, made the decision through that child and brought it back to this moment. And of course they weren't appropriate decisions and they weren't allowing her to move forward, and nobody understood why she was not well. And what she needed to do was let go of this thing in the past. So in those situations, this is my last little thing I'll share with you. What happens is that for every year that a person lives, it's like a ring in a tree. You create this ring of energy. So there's lots of different ways I can see energy, and this is one of the ways. So this skin is the moment of birth, and then there's another layer for the first year, the second year, the third year. So what can happen in a person, and often happens in a person, is that something very traumatic happens, and here it is, and they're not able to let go of it. So it becomes this little trauma package. And as you come out, just like a tree would if it lost its branch, you embody that trauma. And there it is, it's kept. And then another one comes around here and you embody that trauma. So you're starting to actually change your shape around these traumas. And then in your life, one little thing might come along that hits onto one of these traumas that's upsetting. But instead of just experiencing that trauma and being able to handle it, you find yourself suddenly going, whoa, all the way around a bit, and it's as if someone's just pulled out the rug from underneath your feet and you're going, what the hell happened? Because you're kind of going, you're mapping your traumas and you're going back round and round and round to them. So like with this woman leaving herself in Africa, it's as if like you're trapped in something. You know, this is pegging you down and creating a shape. And what you need to do is learn how to let go of those things. So even though this isn't my final word, which comes at the end, I have to say some wonderful thing that you put into your book. But the one thing I think I can share with you without sort of having taken up too much of the time of this talk is that I want people to be able to go away and take home something from this. And the, what I've thought about this carefully, and I think the one thing that I can ask that people could be able to do in their own quiet time is to create a lifeline. So that's your line. Everything above the line is good. Everything below the line, okay, it's very black and white, but it's bad, yeah? So, and obviously, however high up it is, it's either worse or better. So this is very good, this is very bad. And I want you to just write very briefly what it is. So I want you to think back through your life and think about the things that you maybe remember, even if you don't think of them traumatically, but they're visions that come back to you a lot, or things that you think were significant in your life. And I want you to map them out and see if there's a pattern, and then think about some of those major moments and see whether you can actually remember them and start to reclaim yourself from them. So like the woman trapped or the people trapped in all these different shapes, it's like you need to come home in yourself, you need to re-embody yourself. And this is maybe just a very simple way for you to map out your lifeline and begin to see what were the significant turning points in your life and see whether you can bring them back and re-harness them in a way that actually you find embodies joy and peace and love for yourself instead of something that holds you back. Okay, I think I did it in 15 minutes. Yeah,
you did it in time. It was so nice.
So I don't know if there's even any questions and answers. So if there isn't, then that's fine. But I mean, I managed to do it in 50 minutes.
Well, there are a few questions and we have 5 minutes. So I'll start from the bottom up. And this last question that was asked, I don't know if this last picture you drew with the lifeline of this, that this is maybe the answer to that. Can we do some experiential exercise to unblock and align?
Okay, so I'm going to give you one thing that you could do, you can try for yourself. So, you know, I talked about the columns of white light in a person. So here's your column of white light. This does take, you don't have to always be a visual person, but, you know, I want you to imagine another column of light outside and separate from your own, an empty column of light. Because that's the highest form of love and freedom you can give something. And I want you to have that in your thoughts as you work with this. And then I want you to physically go inside of yourself, thinking about whatever it is that you think has blocked you. Maybe you've actually managed to identify it through the lifeline. And I want you to start to witness where it is in your body. And whatever it is that's best for you, whether it's like creating a sort of egg of light around it, I want you to actually start to either let go of this thing, just let it go into the other column of light, even make a little tunnel between your space and the other column, and just let it flow down the tunnel and out of you. And then when it's in the other column of light, I want you to send it its love and its freedom to go and be as great as it can ever be. I want you to spin that column of light and let it go. Let it go way away from you until it just dissolves into nothing.
Okay, thank you. Okay. It would be nice to try. another question. How would you remove a heart block caused by trauma triggered by someone else's shocking energy coming at you? I guess it's a huge question, but...
Someone else is shocking. Well, the first thing I would do is I would make sure that you had a strong enough currency of energy within your own framework so that you have a boundary that allows us to start to actually make the space inside of your light a safe space and one that can become a constant for you. Because you've got to reclaim yourself. You've got to reclaim your own energy first. And then in a simple thing in what we could share right now for a person to do is that when you get into a space with somebody that maybe is shocking your energy and you know that that's happening, is you put yourself into a column of white light. You just imagine that being there, this gentle, soft, flowy light, and you put them into another column of light, white light. So you're giving them the highest blessing that you can give them, but you're also defining the space between you. And you're saying, actually, you're staying in your light and I'm staying in mine. And that's the first step. And hold on to your breath, hold on to yourself, and just relax and know that they're in their light. Thank you. Best I can do for quite an in-depth question.
That question. And the other one, the last one, I guess we can answer, you can answer, is also a big question, I guess. How do we navigate heavy, dark energy like depression, disease, fear, and worry?
How do we navigate it? Well, the way that I would suggest navigating it is because I have familiarity with those things. And the way that I really got on top of it was that I began to realize that I was ill, for obviously from a young age, that I actually had a gremlin in my head that was always telling me what to do and always putting me down and talking me through into these dark places. And I recognized that one day, you know, I was a very angry person and I was going to make it with or without these people, and I was going to put them down, and I was pretty angry, and I had very clear views on what I wanted to do. And I realized that if I allowed this voice to keep poisoning me with its verbal diarrhea about what it wanted me to do, I was never going to find freedom and I was never going to make a change to the dialogue of my life. And so I literally decided that I'm taking this gremlin to tea with me, and I'm going to put the terms of my deal on the table with it, because I'm not listening to this anymore. I've got to find a mantra that blocks this out and starts to actually weaken its grip on me. So it's not an easy place to go. And I'd really like to share this because this is a good opportunity, is that none of this is easy. And none of it do I take. I've heard people say, you know, you have to be 100% responsible for your illness and love yourself 100%. And don't, I know that that is a really hard mountain to climb. And you've got to climb the mountain, get back down, climb it again. It's not easy. And I have full respect for people who are really struggling to get off the ground zero. So, but that's one little tip I can say, is take control of your mind.
Thank you. So maybe the last questions we can't do now, but can people ask questions by visiting your website and getting in contact via email or something?
Yeah, sure. The website or the Facebook page or...
Yeah. Oh, the Facebook page is also nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.